Good morning, everybody. Hey, we're going to get this started. And, you know, in the book of Revelation, second and third chapter, it repeats it seven times, which is kind of a nice number, biblically speaking. But it repeats the statement, question, to him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this morning, as we invite the Holy Spirit to come, I would like for you to reach up and touch your ears, each one of you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. Father God, we just come before your throne. Lord, we celebrate this day, the Sabbath for us, that we would, Lord, be able to praise and worship in freedom. But Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to come. Anoint us to hear what your Spirit would speak to the church this day. And Lord, we thank you for giving us a heart of obedience to simply do that which we have heard. So come, Holy Spirit, be amongst us, anoint us, for give us each hearing ears what you would speak here for the church. And we thank you for your presence amongst us this morning, in Jesus' name.
So I'm going to lead us in our opening scripture. And if you could all rise for the opening scripture, it'll be on the screen. And it's going to be Psalm 139, verse 14 from the NIV, and then the verse 16 is from the ESV. English Standard Version. And the NIV is New International Version. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
Thank you, Lord. We want to bless you this morning. We want to give glory to your name all the days of our lives.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run.
Before Paul comes up to pray over the offering, which I thank him to do that, I want to remind you that we mentioned this last week, and to please designate that it is for camp. It can be any amount. They will take whatever we collect. So go ahead and you can make out a check and designate it to camp, but you can make it out to the church.
This is an awesome time to worship the Lord with our tithes and offering again. I just think it's a great privilege to be able to give back to our Father that gives us everything. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to bless these tithes and offering that they may be used in the ways that would be just and would reach this community. We just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love for each one of us, Lord God. And we present these which is your tithes and our offerings in loving obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, this is yours. And we thank you and praise you, Lord God. This is our form of continued worship unto you and praise. We glorify you with this, Lord. I thank you that you know Pathway of Hope's desire is to be that light here in the community for you and for your glory and beyond. I truly thank you and praise you that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings go to help Foursquare and the missions. Part of it goes to missions around the world. Lord, we truly thank you and praise you, for we are all the body of Christ. And I truly thank you for that, Lord God. This is yours. And may it continue to be blessed, as I pray that also you will bless those who have given, Lord. Truly thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time. This is yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was having fun. I just am still, I'm getting better. I'm still learning how to do it, but I'm getting better slowly but surely. So some of you already know that God changed up what I was going to have, what I felt led to do the message for today. Today is actually called Pulpit Freedom Sunday. And Pulpit Freedom Sunday. And a lot of pastors around are preaching today. Their sermon and message is in regards to originally the way God planned marriage to be. But also it was stated, if you can't do it on that on today, to do it May, June, or July. So I was all ready to do it today, as many were doing it, until God changed it up. So we'll do it eventually, but God changed it up. And I felt led by this after coming back from the Foursquare Convention, and I felt a stirring. And then the stirring was getting stronger, and I mentioned it to Pastor Janet. She goes, I just did the worship slides Monday night when we had our women's night out. And she goes, I'm curious to see, because she felt led to do the worship. And I said, oh, it is good. You could see the Holy Spirit working. So finally, as the week went on, I finally said, okay, Lord, I will switch it up and I will go this way. And so we are going to be hearing, first of all, when I was on at the convention, some of you know Mauricio Rodriguez in the leadership. Some of us have had to have contact with him in regards to some Foursquare business. And he is a young man that works at our Southwest District office. Well, Mauricio was on the bus when I went from the airport to the hotel, and so he was in front of me. And so I was talking to Mauricio, and I said, Mauricio, we didn't have a chance when I visited Southern California in the office to talk about your missions trips, and I've noticed you've been on several mission trips. And he says, yes, I try to go on to a year, and then he explained why. Mauricio, at the very last session, also spoke and gave a tribute to his mother at the end. In the packages, they had this little book and all the packages for those that went to the convention. You can get this and download it onto your computer and print it out if you want online through Foursquare Missions Press. So it is available for you to even look at it better, but it is really a neat story. What I have felt led to do by the Lord is to go ahead and read to you some, and then we will get into some of the message. The gift from heaven. What this is it's going to be, I'm going to go Mauricio, and then I'm going to go author. The author, Robert Hunt, does it in a form of like probably what would happen. Then Mauricio goes on, I'm remembering. So I need my glasses for this to be able to read. The gift from heaven. The author. The huge tree stood alone like a monument to time. Its visitor sat comfortably between the immense roots that grew out from the tree's trunk. He understood how someone might come here to seek its refuge in a time of need. Few can visit the exact spot where they are brought into this world, even less to a place where their birth intersected with death. After a time of thanksgiving, the visitor rose from the very place of his beginning to declare to the enemy who nearly took his life, "I'm 25 years later here. You didn't get away with it. I am stronger than ever." His firm voice trailed off into the still forest. Mauricio, everyone knew my secret but me. I didn't notice the whispers until I got older. In a town of Esteli, Nicaragua, all were friends, or so I thought. They affectionately called me mi niño, my child, taking a communal pride in my protection. I would walk anywhere and feel safe. Hazy images of dusty streets and windowless houses were my earliest memories. Small rooms always seemed filled with extended family, my overprotective mother and three older sisters. We had the basics. I learned later we were poor. But I never wanted for anything. A civil war raged in Nicaragua. Sandinistas killing Contras, Contras killing Sandinistas, people dying for living on the wrong side of the road or knowing the wrong people. My mother feared for the lives of my three sisters, for young girls were constantly taken by force, raped, or worse. Then the Mexican embassy agreed to our entry. Our journey led to us to the city of Tijuana and eventually to Los Angeles. It was probably an adventure worth recounting, but I have no memories of it. The author. "Why don't you feed that baby?" the elderly neighbor shouted in Spanish at the teenage mother who lived in a shack across the field. Days of listening to the infant screaming war on the old woman. "I don't want to," was the absurd reply. The baby's cries became less frequent. In time, the village became quiet. No one recalled seeing the baby from that point on. A year or so later, she became pregnant again. Mauricio, my memories in America are of church. I loved to worship God. It felt as natural as breathing. The experience was only heightened by the sun streaming through the stained glass windows framing the sanctuary. Angela's Temple, built in the 1920s, reflected a certain architectural reverence warmed both by the people and presence of God. God was my father, and not in some theological way. I felt him. I saw him in the sky, as most children do. I later learned the Bible described him affectionately as Abba, or Daddy in the original language. He could be called upon any time, and I called often. The only unnatural part of my young life revolved around a short, squat man my sisters called Uncle. Years of working in the fields helped to harden his frame and darken his skin. He seemed to lurk, never really part of my world. Yet, I was told to call him Dad. The term Dad in an earthly way had no meaning for me, so I obediently complied. I knew he was the son of my grandmother, the brother to my mother. He would come and go, rarely acknowledging my existence. At first, it didn't bother me, But then I started to go to school and learned from my friends that dads were more than shadows. Other kids bragged about their dads taking them to the park, playing baseball, and eating ice cream. I'd feel a surge of envy when I saw their dads picking them up from school while I waited for my mother. One day, I wanted to be able to tell my friends something they sometimes said to me. I can't play with you today. My dad is taking me to the park. So I waited for the man I called Dad to come by. When he did arrive, I asked him to take me to the park and buy me ice cream. After all, dads do those kind of things. Much to my naive delight, he agreed. The author. The young woman, feeling the pain stirring in her womb, walked slowly to the field. A huge tree stood alone, inviting the woman to lean against its ample trunk. Two enormous roots provided a place to sit between, rest her arms, and grip with her hands. No one remembers hearing the woman cry out from under the tree. She probably gave birth like she endured life, with a stoic indifference. Mauricio. Although time with my dad at the park was scheduled for noon, I awoke at 7 a.m., ready to go. I stuffed my Superman backpack with favorite toys, imagining what fun this magical day would be. My mom, still in bed, called out, "Hijo, go back to bed. It's early." But I waited in the narrow stairway of our apartment, the anticipation distorted time. Noon came and went. I barely noticed my mom's attempts to coax me back into the apartment. "He's going to come," I repeated with less certainty every hour. By 7 p.m., with my backpack still on my back, I gave up. To this day, I remember everything from the pattern of the cracked paint on the hallway walls to the seizures of different emotions. I'd love to forget it all. The author. What happened next, no one knows for sure. The woman with her newborn baby in her arms and umbilical cord still attached walked towards the outhouse that two families shared. What she did next horrified even a village of people well acquainted with tragedy. Mauricio. Something happened. He'll apologize. Her words bounced off like bullets on the Superman that adorned the backpack I still held close to my chest. Mom only desired to protect my heart, not wanting to hate the hate to seep in. She was unsuccessful. I cried myself to sleep. Dad never called. And he never apologized. However, the most tragic thing that happened that day was the death of a child's faith. In my young mind, my dad's betrayal became God's rejection. It didn't happen all in one day, but it began as my tears stopped and my heart slowly hardened. I continued to believe in God, but he became increasingly a distant object that I couldn't feel. His warmth no longer felt like the sun. His face not seen in the sky, or his presence hovering in the wind. The author. The young woman, bloodied by the burst, stood inside the outhouse holding her baby. Her mother had finally joined her. What goes on in the mind and heart of someone about to do the unthinkable? Maybe a dull, mindless motion takes over, a detachment from feelings or fears. She let her tiny baby leave her hands and fall into the foul, fetid hole. Instead of the expected silence, screams of an injured baby must have rose deep from the bowels of the hole, causing mother and daughter to search for rocks to throw and cover their crime. When quiet came, they turned their backs and walked away. Mauricio, I hated my dad. Despite my mom and grandmother's insistences, I quit calling him that. He'd come to their birthdays, but never mine. When I'd see him coming, I'd find the nearest exit. As a teenager, I rebelled. Yet I did my best to keep all the feelings locked up inside so I wouldn't hurt my mom. I drank, but the thought of turning out like my father sobered me. My grandmother always said to me, "Guard your heart and respect him." But I'd reply under my breath, "My dad's dead." At school, during Father's Day, I'd make my fantasy a temporary reality when asked about my father. "He's dead," usually ended the paternal questioning. The young boys of the village picked up rocks and dead tree branches, making their way to the field. In Nicaragua, baseball is a passion. Too poor to buy baseballs, bats, and gloves, they used rocks, branches, and bare hands. Between shouts and the sounds of the game, a faint cry was heard. They all went to explore. What filled their ears didn't make sense. The author continues, "Why the sounds from the bottom of the outhouse?" One of the boys ran to get his parents, reaching his mother, Rachel, known by everyone as Roque. She immediately thought her own 3-year-old had fallen in. "Oh my God, my baby!" Not until she found that her little boy, secure, was in his bed. Then she ran to the field. Mauricio, as a teenager, we made the pilgrimage to Nicaragua. Though America was home, this small Central American country still held a warm place in my mom and sister's hearts. I just came along for the adventure. When walking down a dusty road or entering a small store, I'd catch people looking at me and whispering amongst themselves, "That's the baby." They would say, "Didn't make sense." But for some reason, I didn't ask why. While staying in Esteli, I overheard an argument between my mom and one of my brothers. "Don't tell him! It will destroy him!" I didn't want to ask, but I knew something wasn't right. When we got back to the stakes, I asked my oldest sister, "What are you hiding from me?" Instead of answering, she yelled out what seemed to be some predetermined phrase, "Mom, it's time!" Like an intervention, I was immediately surrounded by family members with faces full of the kind of looks that you see in the hospital emergency room. There we all sat in our tiny living room. My mom broke the awkward silence with saying she repeated often to me, "You are a gift from heaven." She proceeded to tell me the truth about my life. Soon her words began to numb my mind like a bad fever. Hearing that everything was a lie. My mom wasn't my real mother. My sisters aren't really my sisters. Learning that my birth mother tried to kill me. I breathed slowly and deeply, trying to keep it inside. It didn't work. We all just cried. The author. They all converged at the outhouse. A man immediately tied a rope around his waist and climbed down the hole. Rogue got on her bare knees, holding onto the rope with every ounce of strength her diminutive frame could muster. The man discovered a newborn baby facing upward, stranded on a piece of wood, saved from the liquid that would have inevitably filled his tiny lungs. One of the boys cried out that he had thrown a piece of wood in the hole yesterday, simultaneously claiming some credit and relaying his confession. Roke struggled to pull the man up from the hole as he carefully held the baby in one hand, secure against his chest, and held the rope in the other. Emerging, he grasped for clean air and handed the newborn to her. The baby, dazed, cut, and covered in drying blood, struggled to breathe. The man wondered out loud what had just happened and why so many large rocks were thrown inside the pit. Was this an accident? How long had that baby been there? Roke tenderly wrapped the infant with a towel, not noticing her own blood streaming from her knees. "This baby is starving," she said to no one in particular. "He must eat," she thought. "Mauricio, my God, why did you let this happen? You should have let me die in that outhouse." With every unanswered plea to God, depression mixed deeper with rage. But it wasn't the revelations that brought on all the self-pity. It was the other parent in my life. Even after he knew I had found out the truth, Dad continued to deny that he was the father. I naively thought that this horrible truth exposed would force him to drop the machismo and embrace me as his son. It was unfulfilled fantasy. Slipping into a deep depression, I thought I could hide from everyone, but family became increasingly worried. Every time someone suggested that I see a counselor or a psychologist, my mom would emphatically say, "No, God will be his counselor." It wasn't that she distrusted counseling, but more that she believed all of this as God's plan. One day, my running conversations with God took a different tone. I chose to lay down my hurt to listen. And God talked. I understand how some people must look at those who claim that God speaks to them. But if God is our Father, why wouldn't he not speak to his children? The author. Since there were only two families that shared the outhouse, Roke knew who had just given birth. Motivated both by a desire to see the baby fed and the question of how this could have happened, she walked to the shack, baby in her arms. A young woman, but gaunt, slowly emerged from a flurry of knocking and shouting, only to stare at the steel-bodied, bundled baby. "Why did you do this?" Roke asked, holding the baby up for the young woman to see. She didn't wait for the answer. "You need to feed him." "Why did you take him out? You should have never let, you should have left him down here, down there." And the young woman's confession left Roke cold, still not wanting to believe this was intentional. Looking at the baby with contempt, the young woman declared, "I don't want him." Roke recovered to implore, "He's your son. He's starving. You need to take care of him." Reluctantly, the young woman took him into her arms. Roke left, worrying that she had done a terrible thing. She wouldn't try to kill him again, would she? The very thought caused her heart to race. Mauricio, with everything I know to be real, God asked me to do what I believe to be impossible. He might as well have asked me to raise the dead. Instead, he clearly said deep to my soul, "I need you to go seek her." I knew instantly he was referring to my birth mother, the person I only referred to as that woman. God wasn't finished. "Tell her that I forgive her and that I love her." For the next 6 months, I said no to God. But the voice in my heart kept calling me to go. So one ordinary day, I finally relented. Mom, sisters, aunts and uncles, we all would go to that place to see that woman. In some strange way, forgiving my birth mother came easier than forgiving my dad. I rationalized that she must have been mentally ill or experienced postpartum syndrome. I didn't know, but Dad, he just didn't want anything to do with me. Rejection by a parent in any form shakes that deep part of you. Maybe this trip would close at least one chapter. I daydreamed of a thousand scenarios of how it would all work out. The author, the young woman, baby in her arms, walked slowly to her agitated mother. Immediately, the old woman acted to eliminate the problem. She took the child to a relative of the baby's father. When she arrived with the crying baby, she sarcastically exclaimed, "I have a gift for you." Her next words were less deciduous. "We don't want him. His father is your nephew, and you decide what to do with him." Mercifully, the baby's aunt took the still starving and dehydrated infant into her arms. After a two-hour bus journey to the nearest hospital, the woman finally got the baby help. While doctors attended to the infant's injuries, she called her sister, the mother of the baby's father. Her sister responded as quickly as she could, taking her daughter, Lucilla, along for the long trek. They both knew this child, having escaped death, could tragically end up in the clutches of the government. As they walked on the dirt road toward the bus stop, Lucilla proclaimed to her mother, "If they ask, 'Do you want him?' say yes, and I will raise him." "Hopefully," she added, "we will let my brother know about this baby, and I'm sure he will help us." Mauricio, down a winding dirt road we drove, Dust covered the rows of tiny homes with no doors or windows. I brought my birth mother a Bible and held it tight. I rehearsed in my mind what I wanted to say, but all the emotion distracted my thinking. When we came to the house, the family spilled out, uncles and aunts first, followed by my mom and sisters. One aunt called into the house asking if anyone was home. My heart was pounding. Sweat rolled down my forehead toward the pit in my stomach. An old lady emerged from the dark of the room. She insisted we enter the house and wait. Her daughter would be there any minute. I scanned the walls. Everything in the home was old, either covered in a thick film of dust or grease from the cooking. A few family photos hung alongside the requisite painting of the Virgin Mary. A smell I still can't properly describe joined us in the room. We all just sat quiet, looking down, around, but not at each other. A few minutes seemed as hours. The sounds from the doorway caused all our eyes to shift. She walked in. Emaciated and slightly stooped over, with black hair falling straight on the sides of her gaunt face, she stooped in the middle of the room, and we locked eyes. Instinctively, we all rose. I held my Bible like a life jacket on a sinking ship. "Mi hijo, my son!" she exclaimed while manufacturing a smile. She came towards me. The author. Back in the village, word spread quickly of the horrific crime. Families were literally dirt poor, but loving their children held the highest value. The government officials, alerted by the hospital, refused to relinquish control. The newborn faced a life of foster care in the teeming city of Managua. Both the grandmother and her determined daughter fought. After 17 days in the hospital, authorities granted temporary custody to Lucilla under close supervision. A year later, they were granted full custody. When Lucilla held the baby in her arms for the first time, she prayed many prayers, but one she would never forget. "Lord, when he finds out what happened, have him turn to you so the devil won't destroy the plans you have for his life." She knew God had great purpose for this emaciated bundle she named Mauricio. Mauricio. The many scenarios I had rehearsed in my mind failed me. I thought her words, "mi hijo," were what I longed to hear, but they fell empty. I suppose I wanted something more, a tear, or head bowed in shame. Instead, she just smiled, looking at me. My face flushed with adrenaline. In shock, I managed to say something. It was one of my rehearsal statements, awkward, but all that I could muster in the moment. "The reason I'm here is to tell you that I forgive you." Her smile now seemed inappropriate, but it continued as I did. "And that God loves you. And he has a plan not only for my life, but for yours." I gave her the Bible. "What's in this Bible? There is the reason I'm here. I said, pointing to my gift for her. And before we left, I hugged her. It seemed like the right thing to do. My aunts, like Secret Service agents, escorted me to the car. They knew the moment fell short of what we all expected, probably because we hadn't known what to expect. They told me that they had never seen a better example of God's love. Years later, when they became believers, they would confess, "We didn't understand then why you did what you did. Why would a 15-year-old do this? Now we do." Days of unrelenting pain, the author continues on, kept Lucilla and her 2-year-old boy, Mauricio, on the opposite side of the swollen river from home and her 3 daughters. With her son in her arms, she slogged down the muddy road until coming to the bridge. Rising river water spilled out onto the bridge. Only the bigger trucks dared to cross. She stood wondering if she would need to turn back when a truck pulled alongside her to offer them a ride. With the truck cab already full of the people, Lucilla and Mauricio would have to ride in the back. She carefully lifted her son onto the open bed, still holding tightly to his arm. As she stepped up on the bumper, the jerk from the truck's clutch knocked Lucilla from the bed and into the rushing water. The little boy was immediately swallowed into the black water. She held on, pulling him up by his tiny waist, but the heavy current pushed them both toward the raging river, holding Mauricio in her arms, being dragged to their death. Lucilla screamed a plea for help, as if angels had been summoned, seemingly from nowhere. People descended upon the stranded mother and son, pulling them from their watery grave. They eventually arrived at home to find it filled with family and people attending a Bible study taught by her grandmother's sister. Lucilla felt safe and grateful. Her God had intervened once again in the life of her son. With the sound of heavy rain and the words from Scripture filling the room, Lucilla decided to follow Christ forever. She would never be the same. Mauricio, if only life could be edited like a feel-good Hollywood movie, we could all be Rocky running up the stairs in Philadelphia Museum of Art with arms raised as the author of the best-selling book, The Road Less Traveled, stated in his initial 2 sentences, "Life is difficult." This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. He goes on to qualify, "Life is a series of problems. Do we want to moan about them or solve them?" His question is profound. I think that our prayers are often just moans disguised as spiritual petitions. I moan too often to God. He patiently listens, just like most earthly fathers. But sometimes he'll ask me, "Do you want to solve the problems?" I hate it when he asks that, especially when it has to do with a deep pain that has taken up residence in my heart. The Lord says, "Talk to him." I knew that voice, and I knew who he was referring to, unfortunately. I initially began the bargaining process for a terse no. I reminded him that I'd done this before with my birth mother, but he persisted and expounded, he needs to come to me. I dug in my proverbial heels, protesting with a moan. Look at it through my eyes, God! As if God would temporarily suspend him, his omniscience, just for me. So deep is the bond between Father and Son that it originates in that mystery called the Godhead. It is at the core of everything that matters in this universe. No mathematical equation can comprehend it, yet a child knows in his guts when it is missing. It is our fathers who mirror for us the wonder of grace, the need for discipline, the touch of love. They point us to God. I never got that, and I'm surely not the only one. Statistics betray the ugly truth of millions like me. Fortunately, many have a mother like I do, who stood in the breach, but every child needs a dad. The author. At age 25, Mauricio felt the need to return again to Nicaragua. He wasn't sure why. He only knew that he wanted to visit an orphanage. Upon arrival in Managua, he drove immediately to his destination. Barely out of his rental car, Mauricio watched a little girl come running up to him. Are you my daddy? Lupita was the cutest little girl he had ever seen, calling him daddy throughout his stay. Not knowing what to say, do, or even feel, he simply hugged her and held her hand during the tour of the orphanage. Conflicted emotions aside, he desperately wanted to take her home. He knew, however, it wasn't possible. The Foursquare Orphanage excelled in loving its children, most of whom had been abused in some horrific way, many even sold for drugs, like young Hector. Hector's jet black hair framed a face that betrayed too much pain for a 12-year-old. Quiet, reserved, he immediately caught Mauricio's attention. They sat down to talk. Because Hector could relate to Mauricio's story, he listened intently to his new American friend. Hector, your parents abandoned you, and I don't know why, Mauricio said in response to Hector's simple question. Why? Actually, Mauricio knew Hector had been sold 3 times from his parents for drugs. You may never know why, Mauricio continued. Hector soaked in every word, but this I know, God has never abandoned you. Then finally coming from his own personal pain, if anything, we abandoned him. Tough words to deliver to a 12-year-old orphan, but Mauricio knew that even 12-year-old hearts can grow cold. He is always there for you. Hector, you have a future, Mauricio said. God has plans for you. He does. For all of us. Mauricio continues. People have told me that he looks a lot like me. I've never seen it. Maybe I didn't want to, but as he stood across from me, I couldn't escape the resemblance. Dad, can I talk to you? I hadn't called him Dad for years. We walked outside while I mentally rehearsed my opening statement. I began with words that, in retrospect, probably just put him on the immediate defensive. I don't want to have this conversation when you are 90 and dying in a hospital bed. I thought this would get his attention. If not, maybe my next statement would. So Mauricio continues, I want to start by asking you to forgive me for hating you. He looked down, quiet, as I spoke. What I would say next sounds strangely disconnected from the heart because it was. I spoke from sheer obedience to my Father's, my heavenly Father's request. I want you, Mauricio says, to know the doors to my heart and my house will always be open when you are ready to come in. I couldn't see any change of expression on his lowered face. Finally, my dad lifted his head, slightly raising and pushing back his slumped shoulders. I love all my children. Nothing more was said. The author. Every Christmas, the workers of the Foursquare Orphanage in Managua ask the children in Managua what they want for Christmas. This could be risky to ask because they know the children's options for gifts are limited. Maybe a pair of socks, a shirt, or candy. Yet they ask already knowing the answer. It's the same response every year from nearly every child. I want a mom and a dad. It's the hope held tight in the hearts of Lupita and Hector. It still is. Mauricio, after speaking to my dad, I experienced what the Bible describes as a peace that passes all understanding. Come over, all over me. It was my Abba again. He smiled at me. I sensed his favor, the little boy and the young man in me, all at once filled with holy presence. Like the great mathematician Pascal, who wrote in his journal after an encounter with the Holy Spirit, joy, 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 unspeakable joy. God's joy fell on me, only to be reinforced by the words that came next from my Abba. I'm proud of you, son. My conversation with Abba wasn't finished. I still desperately wanted those words to hear. I'm sorry. Why? That empty spot in my soul cried out for it, demanding justice, unwilling to compromise. Father, they abandoned me. They both rejected me. At least one of them could have apologized. The firm hand of Abba reached across my shoulders. Let it go. He repeated himself. Let it go. Because I am your father. I have never left you or abandoned you. I was with you from your first day. The Father's words took root in my soul. Your first day. It was my Abba who followed the young woman walking with her newborn to the outhouse. He knew her pain inside and out. He grieved over her choice. He pleaded with her, but her heart was too wounded to listen. So he sent his angels to hover over the baby to keep watch, to protect it from the rocks, from falling into the pit. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. the author. "This is such a beautiful place," Mauricio said to Roque, failing to grasp the irony. She didn't. "Do you know what you are saying?" she began to cry. The enormous tree still stood alone. Giant branches offered shade from the relentless sun. Its roots rose from the ground, presenting a footstool for visitors. 25 years had not been kind to Roque's body, but her mind remained sharp. She remembered in detail the day she heard the faint cry of a baby and how she held on to the rope. She pointed to the scar she bore on both knees. As they walked from the tree to the outhouse, she told Mauricio that God had answered her prayers. With only 6 months to live, according to her doctors, she asked one last thing of him: to meet the baby she helped to save. Together, they wept. Mauricio, there's a picture, I don't know if you showed it, of Lucilla, the mother, and the sisters, and then of Roque when he was there visiting. And now Mauricio, I think he's about 27 or so, and the Lord has called him to go back. And he is working with Foursquare and is going to be having an orphanage. And he's hoping to do that, and sometime in 2015, he'll start doing his missionary support. He's hoping to have that planned out by September. A neat young man, and he honored his mother, Lucilla, and I had the pleasure of meeting her in person. And it was just so neat to see him honor her, and yet glorifying God for the horror that happened. But in the midst, God was there, and he worked it out together for good. Psalm 139 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind, before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you, O Lord God. as Psalm 139 goes on, you tell me that you search me. You know my heart and test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out, Lord God, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. We know that it is because of what God did for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for Mauricio's mother. Christ died for Mauricio's father. Christ died for Mauricio's grandmother, his mother's mother. Christ died for Mauricio. Christ died for us. And all who have hurt us, and all who have loved us, Christ died for everyone, for there is not one without sin. But how can I forgive when it hurts so much? And then we can look at Romans 5:5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can love others, that we can forgive others. We cannot do it in and of ourselves. The Holy Spirit helps us. And with Mauricio, it was that grieving and the quenching with the unforgiveness where he couldn't feel the Lord anymore, where he couldn't hear the Lord anymore, but he was still there. He loved him. And he gently guided him to that point where then Mauricio was finally willing to just lay it down and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. And it was when he was willing to walk in that obedience, whether he felt like it or not, he was willing to walk in that obedience. The word love in Romans chapter 5, verse 5 comes from in the Greek, and I can't pronounce the Greek word, so it's number 26 one. And it says affection or benevolence, a love feast, a feast of charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, boy, that's we know as the love chapter. And in verse 5 it says, love does not dishonor others. This is the NIV. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Well, I don't know about you, but I sure do need the Lord's help on that one. All of that that it says in 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter, I need his help to extend that love to others. And constantly I fail. You can ask my husband on that one. When I blow it sometimes and maybe get angry or maybe make a little judgmental remark like, I told you so. So I try not to do that, but you know, I've blown it. I have, and I need that forgiveness that Christ died on the cross for me. I need to have that cleansing power because it was on the cross that I was able to receive that power of the Holy Spirit that Romans 5:5 talks about, flooding my soul. So when I have any bitterness, when I have any unforgiveness, when I have any anger that is not handled correctly, when I've let jealousy or envy even come in or pride, that grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit from working in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a beautiful love chapter. In the end, it says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, follow after, as the King James Version says, charity. love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Remember I said that in that love definition for Romans 5:5, it said that charity, well, in the King James Version, charity is the one that is used in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity, 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 that benevolence, that love, that action, that feast. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. That's great, but rather that ye may prophesy, because that is an act of love, an act of encouraging and edifying one another and comforting one another. But the main thing to pursue, love. And now abide faith, hope, and love, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love. So, what do we need to do? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. The Greek definition for this one comes from 5483 in the Greek, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It says, to grant us a favor, gratuitously, in kindness, pardon, or rescue, deliver. Frankly, in other words, just to forgive, freely give, grant. But it comes from another word, which is 5485 in there, and it says a manner of either abstract, concrete, or literally or figuratively, is spiritual. In other words, it means that divine influence upon the heart. That comes from the Holy Spirit entering us. And that is what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. It is that power from the Holy Spirit that helps us to forgive others. We need that power. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Forgiveness is our medicine. It is the medicine that each of us needs. Have you taken forgiven all? Because I think we need to take forgiven all each and every day. Extra strength forgiven all is given to each of us. And it is loving and lasting. But there's a warning. Side effects. You know, we hear this whenever you see the prescriptions on the TV and on commercials. Warning, side effects include freedom from guilt, reduced tension, increased joy, spontaneous laughter, love for your fellow human, internal life, and the urge to tell others the wonderful news. So, if you want long-lasting extra strength forgiven all, which is easy to swallow, and it is totally and completely free, surrender yourself to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will flood you with forgiven all. Take it to reduce hatred and other destructive emotions. You must develop their opposites, compassion and kindness. Yes, we need to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave each and every one of us. There is a saying that I found, and it says, forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. And that is beyond ordinary. See, a Christian isn't supposed to be ordinary. We have the supernatural power of the Lord Jesus Christ in us and through us because the Holy Spirit is in us. The fullness of our Heavenly Father's was given to Jesus, which was given to us through the Holy Spirit. And that's why it is so important not to grieve or quench the power of the Holy Spirit in us, the power of what we have, that inheritance. We are sons of the living God. And I say sons because of the fact of that right that sons had, that inheritance. So you could say daughters, but there was a special time of sons. So sons and daughters, we are joint heirs with Christ. As we sang in that song, He is our King. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we are joint heirs. He is our friend. He is our brother. And we need to remember that, but in still continuing to honor. Once again, we need to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us. Psalm 86 verse 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." And Matthew chapter 5 verses 44 and 45 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. But this one takes a love, a supernatural love. And this one takes, as this Greek definition is from the from number 25, to love in a social or moral sense. But it comes from another word, and that means, it's like, it describes how 25, this one, is a wider embracing, especially the judgment and deliberate assent of the will as a matter of principality, duty, and propriety. This is what Mauricio said. He said, "I did this out of obedience." Was the feeling there? No. I did it out of obedience. And this is the love that he was using right here, because at that point, this person was like an enemy. And so this was the love. It talks about that it's not the love of the heart as the other loves are, it's the love of the head. You need that love of the head to and that will, that act of obedience. God, your ways are not my ways. And your thoughts are definitely not always my thoughts. So it is that act of obedience and listening to Him and obeying, as Isaiah 55 talks about. And we are listening to Him because Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 talks about that, that His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, through many of us know, we need to trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not in our own understanding, but we need to acknowledge Him and then He will direct our paths. We need to trust and obey Him and He will direct our paths as He did Mauricio's. But it takes that surrender. It takes that surrender. And then as Psalm 86, 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call on you." That mercy is what Mauricio needed. But he needed to honor his father and his mother, and this is a commandment. Exodus 20, 12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you, that it may be well with you," as Deuteronomy 5, 16 repeats that, but it talks about being well with you, and Mauricio felt that. But he needed his Heavenly Father's strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, in order to empower him to honor the father and the mother who were not honoring him. God doesn't call us to honor the honorable always. I mean, we're to honor the honorable, but I mean, in other words, he tells us to honor all. And he especially tells us to honor our father and our mother. And this one, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, says that this is the one, the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. But we can't do this in and of ourselves. We need Christ's strength And that is why we have that promise. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because as Romans 8 talks about, we are the sonship through the Spirit. And he will work all things out together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Lord had a vision for Pathway of Hope when we came here. And I had the pleasure of seeing that Metsiko choir, the children's choir, and they had children from an orphanage from Liberia and also from Peru. And Metsiko means hope. Well, God had given Pathway of Hope. We are the hope for this community and beyond. And when we came here to plant this church, the vision Pastor Johnny and Mindy had, loving God, loving others, nothing more, nothing less. But we can do this. And that power to forgive others and extend that power of forgiveness to others only comes from the Lord God, our strength. And then the vision continued on as Pastor Doug went on. And he goes, we exist to glorify God by being a spirit-filled people, empowered by him to do his perfect will in this imperfect world. How do we do that? That is because of the Holy Spirit that is in us. That is why it is so important not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. And in this way, we continue on with the vision. He has continued with Pathway of Hope. And God had given us recently, several months ago, we will continue to glorify God as we love and trust and obey him in helping the blind to see, to know the truth and set the captives free by being a light for him and the community, because we will be pointing them to Jesus, to the Word, and they too will experience what Mauricio experienced, the love of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. He is good, and we are all a gift of his from heaven. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I think that God has spoken to each one of us in a different way. But I just want to reiterate that that God knew what was going to happen today. God knew who was going to be here, even though we see a few that are not here. He knew that. And even as Pastor Karen was saying, that I had put the worship together before she even confirmed what was going to be spoken today. And I'm going to try and get through this song, because we're ending with the song of He Knows My Name. Now, I can say too that because I don't know my birth mom and because I don't know the means of it, is there a question in my mind what happened? I know a story I was told, and I'm sticking with it because that's what I was told, but I don't know if it's the truth. But there could have been people in your life that has left a scar. Whether it was a parent, someone that you looked up to, that could have left a scar. So I think this time of an ending song is also one of a healing song. So Pastor Karen, do you want the prayer teams to come up or just? Okay. If you need, specific prayer, please seek Chris, Pastor Karen, Dick.
But you need to remember, God heals ministers during worship too.
is in his hands. We're going to sing that again. And can you put your hand on your heart? I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Yes, he hears me when I call. He hears me when I call.
So, however you decide to receive from the Lord, receive this as I pray this, claim it, declare it over your lives. Lord, I thank you for your precious holy word. And I thank you for Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And I thank you for the Amplified Version. Lord, may you bless each one here totally and completely, Lord. May you watch over each one and guard each one and keep each one. May you, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one to be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to each and every one here, Lord. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each one and give each one here peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard each one of their hearts and each one of their minds, Lord God. For we thank you and praise you that the peace you give us through Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior, this peace is not as the world gives. We will have stuff that we're going to go through and have to deal with. But Lord, we truly thank you and praise you that you will never leave us or forsake us. And as we abide in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we have the fullness of your protection, and we will see the fruit that comes from you producing as we lovingly are yours in obedience to you. We truly thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.